Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Voltas Limited Q2 FY21 results conference call hosted by HDFC Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Also, we would request the participants to limit the questions to two per participant in order to ensure the management is able to address all the questions in queue. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Naveen Trivedi from HDFC Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of HDFC Securities, I would like to welcome the management of Voltas Limited to discuss the post-2Q FY21 results. We have with us today the senior management of Voltas Management, represented by Mr. Anil George, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manish Desai, Head Corporate Finance, and Mr. Vaibhav Vora, Manager Corporate Finance. I would now hand over the call to the management for their comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. We are happy that you could join us in this call. I will do a small presentation in terms of an analysis of results, and then we can go on to Q&A. For the quarter and 6 months ended 30th September 2020, as we entered quarter two, GDP of the most advanced economies of the world had shrunk, G7 nations receding anywhere between 7.6% in the case of Japan up to 20.4% in the case of U.K. China had, meanwhile, managed to grow by 3.2%, also in sharp contrast to the fortunes of India, which declined by some 23.9%. Fiscal deficit of the center and states put together was estimated close to 13.5% of India's GDP for FY21, more than double the 6.4% projected earlier. This was, of course, not a surprise, considering the humongous shortfall in GST collections, averaging a mere rupees 68,000 crores or so in the first several months of the year. At the same time, shrinkage in core sector industries continued unabated, accentuated by significant job losses and surging CPI inflation, especially among food items impacting the common man. All through the reporting quarter, we witnessed intermittent lockdowns across the length and breadth of the country, with three-day per week market operations, weekend disruptions, and curfews, which affected secondary sales across industry. That apart, inconsistent weather conditions with rain and floods, particularly in South, West, and East India, took its toll. It is externally estimated that the COVID lockdown, combined with consumer frugality, has led to an AC industry degrowth of around 59% in the first half of this fiscal year. Labor shortage and demand reduction in sectors like hospitality, entertainment, malls, and office space impacted project progress. Given the overall subdued sentiment, there were hardly any fresh investments from the private sector, and project completion has continued to remain in limbo amidst serious liquidity concerns. Government efforts to infuse optimism through new project announcements, increased outlay, and spending were yet to bear fruit. Given the deemed essential services tag for project activities in the Middle East, the pace of existing work in the Middle East remained largely secure from the travails of COVID. Unfortunate, however, that we continue to experience a conscious propensity to delay certifications, postpone grant of EOTs, EOTs being extension of time, and withhold payment against due receivables. The gradual easing of lockdowns towards the later part of the quarter provided an opportunity for recovery, which was proactively seized by our business teams. We managed to grow our revenue from operations by over 13% improving across all three business segments. The UCP business extended its growth by 9%, overcoming the seasonality effect, firmly underlining the number one leadership position. Pace of execution was simultaneously stepped up across projects to register a 15% top-line growth in Segment B. Even Segment C, our smallest, left no stone unturned to grow by over 16% year-on-year. Coming to the bottom line, the UCP segment improved its results by some 37%, stepping up its Q2 EBIT by some 230 basis points. Alongside, given the business constraints mentioned earlier, time-based ECL and other conservative provisions, particularly in the Middle East, constrained project profitability. That apart, a drop in other income via mark-to-market changes reflecting the external reality of a dip in average yield of investments have impacted results. The corporate balance sheet continues to remain healthy with minimal borrowings, which are required mostly for our overseas operations. While operational cash flow during the first 6 months have been weak, given the context of the lockdown and AC sales lost out in the high season, availability of cash on our balance sheet is a definite strength in these difficult times. There's a small chart with the giving the snapshot of our results, which you would have already seen in your segment results. Let me now comment upon Segment A, unitary cooling products. Swift recovery post easing of lockdown helped achieve volume growth of 11% in ACs, 20% in commercial refrigeration, and 28% in coolers. Volume in RAC was further driven by a 36% growth in inverter ACs, risk sales of which helped re-emphasize our overall market leadership, which stood at 26.8% exit August 2020, YTD being 26.4%. Beneficial mix benefits from higher sale of inverter ACs, together with lower material costs, supply chain efficiencies, and sensible marketing spends led to a handsome increase in EBIT from 8.76% to 11.13% for the quarter. Insofar as government regulations are concerned, it may be noted that the Central Pollution Control Board has, in response to industry representations, reduced the e-waste collection target from 40% to 30% for FY 2021. Further, emphasizing the Make in India initiative, the import of ACs with refrigerant, CBU, has also been banned, which will negatively impact several quote-unquote import and sell fringe players, helping control market fragmentation. At Voltas, we have always remained conscious of the need to increase localization and have over the years consistently reduced the risk of over-dependence on imports. Certain components like compressors, a hitherto import item, is now available in India. Meanwhile, together with investment in molds and balancing equipment to improve the throughput of our existing manufacturing unit in Pantnagar, efforts to set up a South India-based AC factory are being fast-tracked. We have in parallel made sufficient arrangements to ensure that there is no dearth of inventory to meet the expected demand of the upcoming festival season and beyond. Strong order booking across existing and newly appointed distributors, coupled with various offers, led the growth of sales in the air cooler category. With a 10.8% July exit market share, we are currently number 2 in this category. Improved performance of the commercial refrigeration category reflects the change in consumer lifestyle, along with expanding mini cold chain facilities across mom and pop Kirana type stores in 2-tier and 3-tier cities where chocolate coolers and chest coolers are particularly in demand. In addition to regular expansion of the distribution channel and around 180 EBOs, the company is also setting up exclusive outlets which will act as an experience zone, providing a hands-on feel for the complete range of Voltas plus Voltpec products. Armed with attractive consumer schemes, these outlets are expected to enhance consumer interest and footfall while augmenting brand awareness. I move on to comments on segment B, the electromechanical projects and services. Segment revenue for the quarter increased to rupees 928 crores as compared to the previous corresponding quarter of 809 crores, the increase being largely across international operations. The domestic projects business saw an encouraging turnaround across various parameters in the current quarter. While rupees 273 crores of new orders were booked during the current quarter, inquiries particularly for infrastructure projects, including metros, electrical, water treatment, etc., have picked up. Many of these are government-led and are expected to be converted to orders in the coming quarters. In addition, there is an increasing demand for solutions in the indoor air quality space using UVGI products, automated duct cleaning, filtration, etc., which we as Voltas are well placed to provide. The pace of execution in few of the recent projects in Middle East was better given the availability of labor and government-supported access to project sites. At the same time, some of the older projects have witnessed delays which are not always attributable to Voltas, resulting in cost overruns. Although legitimate contractual claims, including EOT, are regularly raised, revenue recognition is possible only post formal approval. Apart from delay in work certification, payments are also consciously deferred by clients owing to liquidity constraints. All of these have resulted in time-based ECL and other conservative provisions affecting results for the current quarter in this segment. We remain conscious of the risks entailed and are suitably cautious and vigilant insofar as new orders in the GCC region are concerned. Voltas currently has a carry-forward order book of 6,852 crores, of which 4,529 crores pertains to domestic and 2,323 pertains to international. Moving on to segment C, engineering products and services. Segment revenue and results for the quarter were at rupees 93 crores and 29 crores respectively. Impacted by the general economic sentiment and ongoing mill operations which are below capacity, fresh orders for textile machinery have been slow. The division, meanwhile, focused on growing the after-sales business, which together with intelligent cost-saving initiatives have helped maintain the EBIT. Mining support activities in Mozambique have thus far remained insulated from COVID and continues on a brisk note. The team has successfully negotiated further maintenance contracts with the client, Vale, which augurs well for the future. Insofar as India is concerned, the ongoing commercial auction of mining blocks may provide avenues for revenue enhancement. Sale of crushing and screening, what's called a CNS, equipment and parts are picking up as well. A brief comment on Voltas Beko. Fast increasing demand from our channel partners for the newly launched direct cool refrigerator category has been encouraging. Despite multiple operational problems related to the COVID lockdown, production from the new Sanand factory has now been stepped up to a rate of over 35,000 DC refrigerators per month, covering 27 SKUs, which will be increased further in the months to come. Production of frost-free refrigerators and automatic top stroke front-load washing machines and dishwashers will also be commenced in a phased manner. Work from home and the search for household convenience has opened up a good market for Voltas Beko products. As of the moment, we have a decent bouquet of well-priced SKUs across various categories. For example, around 50 SKUs in washing machines, 30 SKUs in frost-free refrigerators, 6 each in dishwashers and microwaves and so on. In consonance thereto, a strong and cost-effective digital marketing communication platform is helping garner traction with our target audience. Going forward, we will further leverage the research and development strengths of our partner Arçelik to innovate and bring in India consumer relevant products. Volta Beko currently has some 900 billing points and some 6,000 touch points which can be easily scaled up riding on the might of Volta's well-known distribution. There is ample opportunity. Together with the increased availability of products, we remain confident of meeting our internal targets, including the promise of 10% market share by year 2024-25. To sum up, as we moved into Q3, we began to see a trickle of encouraging news, such as GST collections topping rupees 1 lakh crores, double-digit growth in power consumption, spike in sales of motor vehicles, rise in offtake of diesel and petrol, and a sharp recovery in both manufacturing and services PMI. Additionally, going by the record spike in sales spoken about by e-commerce players such as Amazon and Flipkart, it would appear that consumer trends are clearly on the move. The festival season is around the corner and Voltas has launched Mahotsav, a combination of various consumer-led schemes including extended warranty, attractive product exchange and exciting finance schemes, making purchase even more attractive for our consumers. We feel that the consumer uptick will linger, even if somewhat muted, into the following quarters and are therefore cautiously optimistic about the future growth of the consumer durable market. In terms of readiness, we remain well poised to seize all available opportunities to profitably grow our business in a sustainable manner. As a company, we are also keen to improve focus on the B2C product business of the company and have accordingly notified an in-principle proposal to internally restructure the B2B business. Subject to various approvals, the thought is to transfer the B2B businesses to an existing 100% wholly owned subsidiary, Rohini Industrial Electricals Limited, which will be suitably renamed to represent and reflect these businesses. Going forward in our project business, we will continue to focus on building our order book following a cautious and risk-mitigated approach. A further pickup in pace of economic activity can be reasonably expected in the coming quarters. Various process improvements, cost control measures, and efficiencies, which were strengthened during COVID, provide a degree of comfort on our future outlook. However, liquidity and environment-based near-term worries are likely to continue. That is what I wanted to introduce as to you. Now I'm open for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. We request the participants to limit the questions to two per participants in order to ensure the management is able to address all the questions in queue. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sandeep Pulsian from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, a very good evening and many congratulations on great set of numbers, sir. Firstly, my question is on the UCP segment. We reported a handsome growth over there, about a 14% average volume growth. What I wanted to understand is one part is on the strong growth in inverter ACs that we have explained. How about the second part of the e-commerce sales? Wanted to understand what share of our sales now constitutes from e-commerce and how that has grown over the last year, same period. And we had mentioned in our annual report that we have a 40% market share in the e-commerce channel. How that market share has moved in the first half?
Yeah. The, you know, as far as ACs are concerned, it is not a product that generally fits in very well with the e-commerce channel, because as you know, there is an installation that is involved. So unlike other products, the percentage of contribution that we get as compared to our direct channel sales and other partners is not very significant. In fact, as for the quarter, we have close to about 5% of our sales has come through e-commerce.
And how that has grown versus last year?
And last year was also more or less similar.
Understood. And second question, sir, is on the E&P segment. We mentioned out some time-based provisions that we have made in the current quarter. If you could share the quantum of this provision. Thank you.
What happens in the project business is that according to accounting convention and policies, practices, and the laws covering those, the way that we look at provisions, particularly in the project business, is that if you are not able to demonstrate the collection in line with the previous trend, you generate what is known as expected credit loss and time value of money, so a provision comes by on that account. The second part of it is that in very many cases, the clients might be delaying the certification of certain work that is done. So over a period of time, the certification does not come and disputes take place, and we are not really sure about the revenue that we will book on that. We tend to take a conservative position. The third part of it is that, for example, let me give you an example of the COEX project or the Dubai 2020, which was postponed. Now, in that, we have an extension of time claim, and we do know that we will get money against it. However, as of date of the quarter ending, that extension of time has not been formally agreed. So in those cases, again, we take a conservative position, and then when you have the money received, that actually comes in terms of recognition. The fourth part of it was that I had spoken to you people in the earlier quarters about the problem that we had with Carillion as a party, as a main contractor across both Dubai and Oman. In Dubai, we did not have much of a problem because the local partner was very strong and took over all the liabilities, and we were able to collect all our money without any problem. However, the situation was slightly different in Oman. They still say and hold out that they will pay us the money, but at this particular point of time, it has taken almost about 2 years now, and those expected remittances and collections have not come through, and therefore we have taken some provision there also. So it's a variety of these kind of things that really have made the difference.
Yeah, thanks, sir. I think I want to understand the quantum, sir, so that we can understand what.
So I would not want to get into the quantum. What you should see is that despite these, we have still made a 2.5% margin in this quarter on the projects business, because this is the nature of the project business. There will be, if I do at any point of time, I do 20 projects, it is never possible that in all these 20 projects I make money. What really happens is on some projects I will lose, on some I will win with exceptional margin accretion, and some will be just where it is. So it's a combination of these. So I don't think that you should read much into the quantum of these provisions. What you should see is what is the ultimate margin that we have got in this quarter, and that's the only way that we can answer this.
Thank you. Sandeep, we would request you to please come back in the question queue for any follow-up questions, as we have several participants waiting for their turn. The next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is more to do with the capital employed in the UCP segment. You know, it has increased a lot, or I would say it has increased from the March onwards, which you guided us in the Q1 because of the inventory. But how we should take this? Is it just more of a function of inventory, which should normalize once the season gets the hold? That's my first part of the question. My second question is
there is some background noise. I'm not able to hear you. Could you just repeat the first question again? I heard something about inventory normalization, but I'm not sure what you asked.
Sorry, I'll just repeat my question. So my first question is the capital employed of the AP segment, the UCP segment, got increased? So you explained that in quarter one because of the inventory, you know, it's increasing. But should we take the same argument this time as well, and they should normalize going forward once the season comes?
We're carrying, you know, this quarter two is a very weak quarter. Traditionally, is a very weak quarter, and at the same time, we are manufacturing also because we want to add on inventory and be absolutely on the ball when the market opens up in for the festival season one. Number two, when we get into the end, the beginning of quarter four. So as of the moment, we have something like about 1,000 crores of inventory sitting in our UCP books. And this represents something like about, 110 days of inventory roughly. And it is not something that you should be worried about. We will easily, and never in our history have we been stuck with inventory that we have not been able to sell.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My second question has two parts. One is a transaction which you are attempting and looks like an attempt to demerge the B2B business, what Voltas has been doing for so long, and make and separate that into a separate brand or a separate company, which you have stated in the press release, and keeping the B2C business as separate. You know, generally, we are very, very conservative as a group. And when you gave this on the exchanges, should we assume that it's something in the near term where you have got someone, you're selling that business to him, and the timelines are now particularly clear in your mind that in 6 to 8 months' time, you know, this should come in? Just need your take on that. And second part is, on the MEP, as you said, you know, we should look at the margins, what you're reporting. But when we look at these one-offs and all, how we should look at your MEP margin? Should we back to 5-6% is where you look at it, or you think there will be further provisioning just because of the environment which is going on? Those are the questions. Thank you.
On the first question, where you're really saying that, you know, there is no transaction or anything of that kind. Okay, as we have explained, in keeping with good governance practices, the moment that we have always wanted to give extra focus to the B2C business and also ensure that the B2B business gets the appropriate focus. So what we have done, it is all within the house. It is just an internal restructuring. Rohini Industrial Electricals is a 100% owned subsidiary, with every pie of money there being owned by Voltas, being managed actively by Voltas. So there is nothing in that, and you should not be assuming that, you know, we are planning to sell and this and that and all that. There are much more, you know, we don't have to go through all this convoluted route if we did want to do that. So basically what we are doing is that we are putting the B2B businesses into a house which is a sub-house of the main, property, if you want to put it that way. And therefore, you will have a proper focus on the B2C segment and on the B2B. That is the purpose at this particular point of time. And because we don't want unnecessary speculation, that is the reason why we have put it out and into the public domain. Okay? The second part of it is that how should we be looking at the MEP reported margin? How should it be 5 to 6%? As I was mentioning and as I have alluded, if you look at my notes of the previous quarter also, I have said that for 2 or 3 quarters, we are going to be having a bit of a pain because of COVID and related issues, particularly in the Middle East. Our ambition and our hope is definitely that we should be able to get back to this 5 to 6%, and I don't see any reason why we should not be able to do that. But if you're going to ask me that, will I get into 6% the next quarter? The answer is no. It will be a graded swing up. Yeah?
Thank you. Nitin, we would request you to please come back in the question queue for any follow-up questions. A reminder to the participants, we would request the participants to please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Vitlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for great set of numbers. So I have 2 questions. We have seen over the last 2 years, government putting increasing non-tariff and tariff barriers for RAC as a segment. In your opening remarks, you did mention about increasing indigenization and the new South India plant. It could be useful to understand how are we actually going over the next couple of years because we have been sourcing from third party also. So are we looking at increased components within our manufacturing activity? That's one. Second is, in the quarter gone by, what would be the industry growth according to you for the REC? Thanks. These are my 2 questions.
This is Manish over here. Let me answer the second question first. As the opening remark done by Mr. Anil George, the industry R-reading and the GFK third-party data shows that the industry has degrown by 59% as far as the air conditioning is concerned, largely on the backdrop of the Q1 volume, which contributes significantly to the yearly volume for the AC industry. Come back on the restrictions or the imposition of the tariff duties or increase of tariff duties by the government. It was, in fact, if you look from our earlier 2-quarter note as well, we have started our journey of localization or reducing the import from China gradually. To start with, we have touched upon the reduction of the CBU, which otherwise the volume was substantially higher. If I take back you to the 4 to 5 years back, in terms of the IDU, which is another component, which we started localization by investing in the molds, and now we are expecting in the years to come, probably the substitution of the import IDU will be on a higher side if I look into the localized our investments coming out of it. Components, there are certain components on which the dependence is still higher on an import because of the absence of the value chain, which is not existing in India. However, we have seen that some of the component makers looking into such kind of restrictive entries or a move by the government and looking into the demographics and the market potential are establishing their place of business in India. We have talked about the compressor in the past. In the current, in the recent development, we are seeing that the controllers manufacturers also eyeing their place of manufacturing in India. So in a way, if I look forward in the next 2 to 3 years down the line, you may see that the import of component as well, which is today absence to a larger extent, will also find a place in India. Now, if you look from in terms of the Voltas perspective, we may not be so efficiently involved in manufacturing or in part of the component back-end process. However, considering the largest volume which we are carrying in our industry, definitely will be an advantage in terms of negotiation with those players who are coming and establishing the manufacturing place, because we, as a brand leader, can certainly give a volume target and ensure the business by dealing with Voltas. So in a way, if I look from the overall perspective, on a Voltas perspective and industry perspective as well, Voltas is getting, I can say, has already started process and started establishing its localization drive. As far as the industry is concerned, you may see a sea change down the line 3 to 4 years, where you find either the local manufacturers have started developing those components, or you find the multinational or the operators who are operating out of country right now having their manufacturing base in India. Hope I have answered to your question.
One follow-up, if I may. What could be the capital expenditure outlay over the next couple of years, given that we are increasing localization?
If I look from the perspective of investment in more, the outlay is not so significant, because what you are doing is you are creating a 3-4 fascia out of the mold, which itself individually can contribute a significant volume. However, as we stated in our earlier notes, we are looking for having another manufacturing setup in South to take advantage of the supply chain as well as coming near to the market, wherein we have projected and we have kept saying that amount of close to 200 to 50 crores, including the land price in the first phase, will be deployed with. So in a way, if I look from the perspective, phase one will take almost 200 to 50 crores of outflow, and depending upon the capacities and the market growth, we'll definitely look into expanding those capacities to cater adequate to the requirement of the market.
Thank you. Bhavin, we would request you to please come back in the question queue for any follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Behra from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a great set of results. Sir, my first question is on the AC business again. Some color, if you can highlight how are the retail trends currently in the festive or maybe in the past 1-2 months, and what do we expect for the second half of this year?
Please, sir, let's not get your question.
Some color on?
I was saying that some color on the retails for the AC business, about how they have been in the past 1-2 months and what is the outlook going ahead for this business in the second half?
We do not want to comment on the quarter that is coming up. All that I would say, and you should see that, know that from your experience with the company, we will, whatever sales is there, we will beat the competition and we will get ahead and we will get whatever growth is possible. I do not want to really talk in terms of what is the, how much is the growth, etc. That would be not be correct for me at this point in time. Yeah?
Got it, sir. Sir, my second question is on the market share side. So we have gained a considerable market share in the first half of the year. So I think will it be fair to assume that now with these import restrictions coming in and smaller players not able to sell now, so further gains from these levels would be possible for these for the remaining part of the year?
The people who are knocked out are actually very, very fringe players really, and I'm sure that they must be already holding inventory of which will for the immediate future and the next couple of quarters they will have inventory already. So it's not going to be a immediate follow through. But I think the government has taken a good decision in this because it also leaves out keeps out people who are just trading, getting in a container load full of ACs all fully activated and then just selling it here. And rather they are motivating the make in India, which is a good thing to happen. Over a period of time, what happens is that many of these small players will find that it's no longer economical for them to do this, or that they are not allowed to do it because of the fact that it's a banned product. So unless you have some way of assembling or charging the gas here or doing things like that, you will not be able to sell. So it kind of narrows the market down a bit. But it doesn't affect any of the major players because everyone was, it's only the fringe players who are affected here.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naval Sage from NK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Somewhat continuation to the last question. If you can share some insights, what is the cost arbitrage which these players used to get by importing from China?
Apart from the, I would not like to say about the cost arbitrage, but what they used to get advantage is to do an import and sale. So they are, it's like a ready-to-cook kind of item whereby you can immediately get the material put on the shelf. And because of which you may see that a lot of players have started looking into this industry as such. As far as the cost arbitrage is concerned, I'm not sure they'll be getting significant amount. What they can save is in terms of movement of the raw material, which otherwise the manufacturer has to do it, and taking out the supply from one of the factories or two factories and locate to the entire length and breadth of the country. Apart from that, if you look from the price perspective, I have my own reservation, because all these top brands who are there having, in terms of volume, a significant manifold volume compared to these three players what they have currently with them. But the import and sale kind of business model gives immediate access to your market, and you must have seen in the past, because of which a lot of modern trade players have come out with the private label brand, and that was their objective, because once they keep those private label brand and be competitive in the price front, they start getting a share of the entire larger pie into it.
So is it fair to assume that market leaders like you and other big players will see accelerated market share gain from these fringe players? Because although now there is no difference, their go-to-market will not be as simple as it was from China. So is it fair to assume that, or they will again have their own means to come back with the same pace?
Now, well, I'll put other way around. What it leads to, some kind of consolidation and maybe a restrictive entry to a night by fly operators. Why I'm saying using this word particularly, because we have seen many brands who have come and gone by putting their presence for a shorter period of time. Now all these restrictions which government is putting will not allow them to operate in a such kind of way which otherwise was possible before this ban has come into operative. As far as the market share is concerned, we have been consistently increasing. If I would like to put more about Voltas rather putting about the other brands, Voltas have been anyway consistently increasing the market share. Be the presence of the fringe player, we won't be there. Yes, this opportunity will be higher in terms of consolidating our position. But if you look from the perspective of the price point, because these players were having aggressive price point as well, probably this will help us to sustain a reasonable price in the market rather going into disruption the way in which these players were causing in the tier 2 or tier 3 markets.
Fair point. Second question on imports. Can you highlight what is the percentage imports for IDUs and ODUs for you at current juncture?
It's difficult because it keeps changing season by season. It keeps changing, evaluating the cost versus the cost, the make versus buy decision, which all companies definitely carry out. But like in terms of what we said earlier, the CBU percentage import has come down drastically. I don't want to ascribe the percentage because it's a selective excuse which we do import, having the lower volume in the market. Many times it goes on a higher side considering the non-ability of the fascia or a design or a price point which we are looking in the market. IDU was at a higher stage around 70-80% if I take you 2 to 3 years back. Now that also being localized, what I just answered to one of the questions. And we are looking more into the future one, and more you find. In fact, if you look from the today market, we have our own investments models or the SKUs available in the market and doing really well, giving us a clear way of putting more money into the molds and increase our localization drive.
Sure. Thank you, Manish, and wish you all the best.
Thanks. No.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Venu Gopal Kare from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks a lot for the opportunity. You know, this question has been asked on the B2B side in terms of shifting your B2B business to the subsidiary Rohini. Just wanted to understand how does this shift, moving of business to your own subsidiary, which is Rohini, actually increase focus on that? Is it more to do with you creating some new management structure there? And also, would your B2C cash flows get ring-fenced given that B2B is now a part of a subsidiary? That's the first question.
So two things. Firstly, yes, you're right. It will get additional focus because there will be a management team that is project-specific that will be looking into the affairs of the B2B business. And so it doesn't really get lost in the B2C, and it gets the adequate focus and gets the adequate management attention. The central management team that you have for Voltas as a whole will be operating in the same way much as we do for other JVs and subsidiaries and wholly owned subsidiaries. But what is most important is that projects businesses will get discussed specifically, will get the importance that it needs, and will get the financing, will get the focus, rather than getting submerged in B2C business where there is a lot of growth opportunity and impetus there.
Got it. You know, my second question is on Voltpec. Can you give us some idea of how sales have been in the previous quarter or in the first half of the year? Whichever you think is easier to answer, because first half would have some part where there would have been challenges. And did the capacity constraints that you sort of, you know, did face during the quarter impact sales?
Actually, the thing we are very happy with Voltas Beko is that the products have sunk in pretty well and are in great demand from the trade. In fact, it's very rare for a brand to be launched in a country and not the extend credit. But the truth is that in Voltas Beko, it is going through our system without any additional credit of any kind. That itself is a very big plus point. Today, our constraint is that we are not able to produce sufficient numbers. And why are we not able to produce sufficient numbers? Because we started the factory somewhere in end January of this year, and then we had to shut down because of COVID. And as COVID progresses and localized lockdowns happen, there are a number of operational problems. For example, you might have a spare part or some particular, maybe a handle of the fridge that is coming from someone who's doing it in, let us say, in Pune, which might be under lockdown. It disrupts the production. So despite all of that, what we have successfully done, and we're very happy about that, is that we have been able to scale it up to about 35,000 refrigerators per month. And we are selling, and in many cases, it's even directly dispatched from the factory without even coming to the warehouse. It's that kind of demand. And the other thing is that the pricing is still, you know, very optimally done, and we keep watching the trends. And the Voltas brand name sells, along with the Beko, they are very good in terms of the research and development. They invest a lot of money, and the products that we sell are very specific to the Indian consumer in the sense of, you know, tweaks and other things that we change in the product. So it's not a run-on-the-mill product. And it is having very good traction as we can see it. Currently, we have about 6,000 touch points, and it certainly can go. The universe for consumer durables is something like about 35,000 shops, which we might really want to be participating in. And in the of these, it's never the case that we want to, you know, take over all the things. But we would ideally think that the Voltas Beko distribution can go to 20,000-25,000 kind of distribution outlets as we look at it. So there's a lot of runway for growth. But the main issue and the main thing that we will get, and it's a part of a plan, is, you know, ramping up the production. And as I explained in my note, we are looking at various things, adding frost-free refrigerators, automatic top and front load washing machines and dishwashers, which will all be commenced in a very staged way. The other thing is that we have sufficient amount of land there, and the sheds are already built up. So all we need to do is to get the specific equipment, put it, and we'll be able to, you know, swing up our production very quickly. We expect to reach, an amount of about 100,000 direct cooled refrigerators by the middle of next year.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhumika from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So just wanted to touch upon our, in the core RAC segment, if you can touch upon the distribution strategy. We've been growing our distribution quite well, but how are we growing that further, particularly in tier 2, tier 3, if you can give some color, what is the breakup versus urban metros and tier 2, tier 3?
Bhumika, this is Manish over here. Bhumika, if you look from the distribution reach perspective, we are anyway in excess of 50 or 55, to best of my reading. Now that is in a consumer durable space, I won't say the optimum, it is the most optimum over there. The reason being is because the each brand, these all outlets what we have as a part of the distribution channel are a multi-brand outlet. And definitely, when you evaluate those distributors, you are doing evaluation based upon the kind of business which they are doing with the particular brand. Having said that, what we do as a part of what we undergo as an employee performance appraisal, we also carry out appraisal on the distributor side. And whenever we need it, we carry out those changes based upon what kind of market growth we are expecting in this particular territory and how it has particularly grown into a particular in a particular year. Having said that, the growth is in a higher side in Tier 3, Tier 4. We do not have the ready-made numbers right now. The reason being is because our third party also is finding difficult to collate the data in terms of this current pandemic where the travel is being restricted. However, the reasonable or the reading clearly says the Tier 3, Tier 2, Tier 3 and Tier 4 are growing in a better way compared to the metros and Tier 1.
Okay. And my second question is on Voltbek JV. You know, we've seen the losses going down from last year versus this year. That's got to do with the own local manufacturing that we started earlier on. So would it be fair to say with the kind of a faster ramp up that we were earlier targeting to break even by year 5, that now this might be slightly more preponed and we could turn profitable at a much earlier stage?
We always expect to do better than what our projections are. But at this point of time, you're right in your observation that the losses that we've got are better than the ones that is projected. But at the same time, there might also be the need for, you know, significant infusion of marketing spend as we go forward. One of the things that we have got now, and I might mention this, we have got roughly about a 1.7% market share in washing machines, and also 1.7% share, 1.8% share in the refrigerators. So, you know, we are, whether you like it or not, becoming a bit of a threat to the biggies. And so we might also need to spend some substantial amounts on marketing, which till now we have been very cleverly doing, riding on the back of Voltas, doing it digitally, doing it very sensibly, etc. So I can't really, predict it that way. But again, I would just say that we expect to do better than our own projections.
Great, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhalchandra Shinde from Max Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Regarding our cash flow from operations has actually slightly deteriorated. That is largely because of the decrease in payables. Will this phenomena change and our cash flow from operations turn positive by fiscal year ending?
I think it's a very good question, but let me just give you, the quarter one is normally a quarter where we are, you know, full of cash, where so much of product is sold and we are able to get that cash in, and you know that we don't have exceptional credit pay terms or anything with anyone. So that first quarter did not really play up for us. In fact, as of date, we have ourselves, as compared to the previous year in the first half, degrown by 43%. Now, the industry itself has degrown by some 50%+. That's another story. But because of COVID and the lockdown that we had. So the cash inflow that I expected in quarter one was not there. But at the same time, I had to make payments on LCs and import bills and other things which I had already negotiated for. So the payments started falling due in quarter one, quarter two, etc., whereas I was not getting sufficient receipt. Now, when you go back to by quarter four, I can tell you that the situation will be completely different. As we sell more and more products, the money will be coming in, and we will in an average year we will keep adding to our financial resources. One. Number two is that in this process, there are also someone asked a question about capital investments, etc. We have spent some money in terms of investments in JVs, and now we will be looking at manufacturing unit. We have all these plans also that are there, so it has to be taken in total cognizance of the whole situation.
And so regarding our ad expenses, has been also relatively lower in first half because obviously there was restrictions. But to maintain the similar kind of a market share, will we need to have a higher ad expenses or a similar kind of ad expenses in second half, or how we see that panning out?
No, I don't think that we can really project the way that business will go. What happens in these cases is, one is that we have our own go to market way of doing things, which might be different as compared to other companies. For example, in the first quarter and the second quarter, we have hardly advertised anything because there was no point in advertising. But yet we are able to sell appropriately well. And why are we able to do that? Because of the strength of our distribution, because of the strength of our brand, because of all that we are able to communicate to the market sensibly through digital platforms. So it's a question of, how we really see the situation. If we have, for example, a very strong, issue with a major multinational partner, a major multinational player, then we will also respond appropriately. And the good news is that we have sufficient margin. The margin that we earn in AC is not replicated elsewhere. So we have the margin, we have the money in our balance sheet, and we have the guts and the inclination to fight our competition to the last drop.
Thank you. Thanks. I request the participants to please limit your questions to one per participant. The next question
it's already five, so probably last one question we can take it up. The rest, if anything remains unanswered, we are open subsequently to have this.
Sure. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Given this new, import restrictions, will there be a change in the way you stock the inventory? Generally, we have a lot of inventory in the fourth quarter. So will you be preponing the purchase in the third quarter, given there will be a lot of rush, to procure it domestically? Just want to know your thoughts on this.
In fact, if you recollect, Mr. George already said we are having good amount of inventory with us right now. Just because of this change in the restrictions or a change in the government regulation, the inventory mop-up will not undergo any change. Yes, but whenever we do plan, we have to take into consideration the capacities what our local suppliers are also having it. Having seen the sufficient inventory in our warehouse, we are not seeing any good amount of procurement starting from quarter three. However, we need to see how the market is reacting to the festival seasons and the upcoming season. And accordingly, we have to back-end our sourcing to ensure that we are not losing the sale just because of the inventory not with us.
Got it. So in FY20, what was the proportion of your ACs manufactured in our own facility versus imported and sourced domestically?
What we have, Dhawal, is if I look into the complete CBUs, the percentage will not become so attractive. We do manufacture the components, certain back-end activities we carry out. So in terms of the outdoor unit, we always say it's 100% or closer to 100% gets manufactured in our factory. If I look from the window perspective, window air conditioner, it gets manufactured locally through our OEM, definitely under supervision and the supervision of the Voltas, including the R&D and the value engineering which we carry out. In terms of the IDU, also it's getting proportionate of that gets manufactured the local and something which we get import over there. So it's a mix of supply chain, because you cannot ascribe to a particular percentage to manufacturing, because ultimately what the aim is to ensure that you have a sufficient inventory with us, whether you do sourcing locally or through import, to ensure that we are giving enough ammunition to our sales team to go in the market and do the front-end sales.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much, sir, for the answer.
Naveen, we can close this call, being 5 now. Anything remain unanswered, they can, any of the participants can be touched with me or Vaibhav separately. Hello?
Thank you. On behalf of HDFC Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.
Thank you.
Thanks, you all.